This morning I have a reading from Revelation, and I don't know about you, but I want to see every little thing that John saw. But although he hasn't yet called me to see those things, he's called us all this morning to see how those surrounding his throne worship and praise him. So I'd like to read Revelations 4, starting in verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne, and this is what they say: "You who are worthy, our Lord and God, worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will they were created, and they have their being." Then chapter 5, starting in verse 11. "And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice, this is what the angels sang: 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven, every creature on earth, every creature under the earth, on the sea, and every creature that is within them, singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures, then they said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped."
flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you.
I'd like to read Joshua 24, 14 through 15 to you this morning. It's from the New International Version. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But in serving the Lord, if it seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Just as in Scripture, we can choose as the body of Christ to worship God. Our worship is one way that we can declare not only our belief, but also our allegiance to our Creator. I would ask all of you to recite with me what is known as the Apostles' Creed as a statement of rejecting the gods of our former life, just as the Israelites had to choose God over the gods of the man in their previous life. It's in your bulletin. It's not going to be on the screen. Everybody there? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the grave. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen and amen.
Anybody in here excited about Jesus today? No, seriously, come on. Anybody in here excited about Jesus today? You know, I was sitting there. As we sang the Revelation song, and I thought how cool it is that here we are, singing a song written by angels, sung by angels, who at this very moment sang in unison with us, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who is worthy to be praised. Amen? He is worthy to be praised. And we have hopefully today set the tone that you have understood that there is a continuous theme throughout Scripture, that God is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be worshipped. He alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He alone is in power and in control. He supersedes any kind of thing that we have here on this earth. There is no government that can control him, no government that will tell him what to do and where he can and cannot go. There is nobody who can tell him no. There is nobody who can say stop. There is nobody who says that's as far as you can go, because he will say, I ain't done yet. And he's going to keep moving, and he's going to keep pushing, and he's going to keep taking his message of truth and love, and he's going to take it into the lives of everybody in this world, and he wants everybody to know it. And he wants us, the church, to be that body, to take that message. And you know what a really cool message it is? That the God that we have been singing about and reading about and talking about, the creator of heaven and earth and all the stars in the universe and everything that exists, he gets excited about you. He gets excited about each and every person that's sitting in this room and those who are not in this room who have not yet heard his message. Zephaniah chapter 3. I know y'all have been reading Zephaniah a lot, right? It's in the Old Testament, promise you. Zephaniah, it's in there right after Haggai, which nobody reads either. So, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. A mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. We're getting ready to go into an Advent season next week. As we begin to set the stage in anticipation of Christmas and celebration of the appearance of Christ. And I love how God's word tells us that he is a mighty warrior because there is a battle going on. Amen? And what's at stake is your soul and mine. And the souls of every living person that's ever existed on this planet. And that soul is between good and evil. And the cool thing is, the battle's already won. All we have to do is claim the victory and get on the right side, and everything's fine. But the wages, but the darkness wages a war. They continue like fools to batter and beat against the the cross and against God and against his church and against his word. But Jesus, he came and he said, you know what? I come because I have not come to condemn the world, but to save it. And God is a mighty, powerful warrior, and he comes to save, and he gets excited about saving us. He gets excited about taking care of us and loving us. He gets so excited that he sings a song. Sometimes I wonder what that song is. There are days when he probably looks at me in my life and he says, this is a song of sorrow. I sing a sad song. To quote Neil Diamond, a song sung blue. I got some Neil Diamond fans in there, I know. Come on. But sometimes he sings a song that's probably like, yeah, that's my boy. Right? How many times has he in my life maybe looked down like he did with Job and said, have you considered my servant Jason? And when I think about that, it's very sombering. Have I done something? Have I loved God to the point that he has celebrated me? That he has cherished me? Jesus said it like this. He gave three parables. All about lost things. The most famous, most people know, is the prodigal son. For those of you who know the story of the prodigal son, there was a man who had two children. His one son said, give me half of what you have, so that I can go ahead and experience my inheritance now instead of waiting around till you die. Loving son, right? So he takes the money, he goes out, and he says he spends it on women and wine and all the good life. And he ends up in this faraway land, completely desolate. And he finally takes a job working in a hog farm, feeding hogs. And he's so hungry and so sad in his life. He's like, if I just even got the food that the hogs got. Then he has this moment where he's like, hey, my father has a whole bunch of servants, and they get fed better than this. I'll go back and be a servant for him. At least then I'll get fed and someplace to sleep. And it says that as he approached the house, he was still far away, and the father ran to him. And he put a cloak on him, and he gave him his ring, and he reinstated him as a son. And then he calls for a celebration. He said, because my son was dead and is now alive. Jesus also told another story about a woman who had lost a coin. And for most of us, we lose a coin, we don't know much about it. We don't really notice it. But when you're ever down to just your last coin and you lose that coin, you notice it. When that coin is precious, and it's missing. It says she took the house and she cleaned it. She tore it upside down and she found it. And what'd she do? She called her friends and she said, hey, I lost this coin, but I found it. Let's have a party. Let's rejoice. And Jesus tells another story. He says that there was a shepherd. He had 100 sheep, but one went off to the side, got lost. He says, would that shepherd not leave the 99 to go find the one? And when he found it, bring it back and tell the other shepherds and rejoice that the one that was lost is found? And at the end of every one of these stories, he says this, even so, in the kingdom of heaven is the rejoicing of one sinner who comes to the salvation of Jesus Christ, who comes into the kingdom of God. Think about that. For those of us who have accepted Jesus, for those of us who now have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who have looked forward to the day that we can stand with those 24 elders and those countless thousands of angels and sing those songs, worthy is the Lamb. There was a day when heaven threw a party for you. Did anybody know that? Does anybody know it now? There was a day, let me say this again, that heaven threw a party for you. I think that's pretty exciting. Can we at least give God like a clap or something? This is a day of praise. And why are we giving thanks? We started a few weeks ago talking about this. The things of this earth, they don't count for anything. Because in essence, they're all what? They're all just dirt. So accumulating power and status and things in this world, that's not what we give thanks about. The second week we talked about why give thanks, because we have forgiveness and freedom. We were once dead and now are made alive. We were once bound to sin and captured with Satan, and we have now been set free. And we show our thanks and we give our thanks by sharing and giving our forgiveness to others. And last week we talked about how that the things that the earth, the dirt that we do get, doesn't belong to us anyways. It belongs to God, 100%. The things that we have, our time, our treasure, our talent, it's not ours to begin with. So we should thank God and praise Him by giving all of it back in everything we do. And today we praised Him. We praised Him because Jesus is worthy of praise, because God is worthy of praise, and because He gets excited about you, the creator of the universe, who developed nebula and stars and galaxies, gets excited about me. I will tell you all, I live with myself 24/7. It's not that exciting. Amen. I'm surprised that didn't come from Amy. So, to think about, I know myself. You know yourself. To think that God cherishes you and gets excited about you. How can we sit and be silent? How can we be quiet and not praise Him? How can we not tell others about Him? Because, guys, it gets kind of boring if you have a party of one. You want others at the party, right? The only way others are going to be at this party at the end of the universe is if we tell others about Jesus Christ. If you were really excited about something, you would go tell other people. I remember when I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And I remember when they finally won their sixth Super Bowl. And I bought the shirt and I wore it around. And all of my friends, especially the Cowboy friends and San Francisco 49er friends, who are all like, we have five just like you. I'm like, now we got six. Who's got six? It's just dirt. I know, but I was excited. So you got to be careful when you preach things, because people give it back to you. So, but I think about that. I think about how exciting. I remember watching when they played the Arizona Cardinals. And I remember with a minute 47 seconds left that the Arizona Cardinals scored a touchdown. And then I watched as Ben Roethlisberger put on a show, and he made a couple of very lucky passes, I won't lie. And there's this beautiful pass to Santonio Holmes at the last second, like with 3 seconds left, and his toes, those of you who are football players or watchers, you would appreciate this, that he stretches out, and the ball is like technically almost out of bounds, but he stretches his arms out, and his toes drag inside, so just technically, barely, it's a touchdown. And, of course, I was sitting on the couch, and I just kind of go, yay. Now, those of you who watch football, you know that's not true. Now, bless their hearts, people, when it's the Super Bowl, if Pittsburgh's in the Super Bowl, most people don't watch it with me. I get a little passionate about it, a little excited. My kids do a really good copy of me jumping up and down. And I think about that, and you guys are absolutely right. It's just dirt, because who remembers? who won the Lombardi Trophy in 1968? I'm sure somebody in here does, but most of us don't. Most of us, it doesn't impact my life whatsoever who won Super Bowl 32 or 16 or 4 or who won the World Series, especially this last year. Who cares? So, spoken as a Yankee fan. So, if we invest ourselves and tell others, because what was I doing when I went and bought the shirt? I was telling others, I'm identified with the Steelers who just won. I had nothing to do with it, but I'm on their team. I'm supporting them. And I would raise my hands and yell and scream and get excited. But do we do that for Jesus? Do we do that for God? I'm not talking about somebody who's standing on the street corner up on a thing with a bullhorn going, you're going to burn or turn. Hurry up. God's coming back. You better get ready. Scare tactic. No. I'm talking about when was the last time that I showed somebody love and told them, I love you because I have a God who's the creator of the universe who loved me. The other day, we were at CVS picking up some things, and there was a guy behind the counter that he was just awesome at his job and, like, super friendly and helpful and just a great personality. And I almost walked away, and I stopped, and I looked at him, and he has a name tag, and, hey, they have name tags for a reason. And I called him by his name. I stuck my hand out, and I shook his hand, and I said, I just want to tell you, it has actually been a pleasure being a customer here today because of you and the way that you treated me. Great job. I'm not saying it's just because of this, but I can tell you right now, he stood a little taller. His shoulders went back a little bit. And as much customer service and great love and care he shared with me, I heard him do it even more so to the person behind me. When are we going to stop going around and being negative Christians? When are we going to go around and stop bickering with each other and fighting over everything and caring about the things that don't matter when lost souls are being just dropped into hell? And there are people walking into an eternity of darkness when they could have been told about the light. So today, I want to just conclude by saying this. If Jesus and God and all of the angels and all of the heavens get excited about one of the sinners who come into knowledge of Jesus Christ and into salvation, should we not also be excited? And should we not also be telling and sharing? I'm going to ask that the praise band come back up. And we're going to sing a song called Leaving the 99. And as we sing this, I want you guys to prayerfully consider, who's that one out there? See, God's called us to be little shepherds, to go out and find the flock and bring those sheep back in. That's the purpose of the Christian faith. It's not just for me to get saved. It's so that I can tell others. It's not about me stumbling out of the darkness into light, but how can I take that light to others? You want to praise God? You want to show worship? You want to give thanks? Don't go to heaven alone.
Lost and broken, all alone on this road. The wheels keep turning, but the feeling is gone when I say I'm on my own. You remind me I am not alone. I'd be 99, leaving all behind to find me. never too far down. I promise you'll be found. I'll reach into the mud and my replay. Pursue you to the end like a faithful.
If you're a first-time visitor, we're getting ready to take the offering. If you're a first-time visitor, we ask you to just let the basket go on by. But if you call this your church home, we ask you to give all you can generously. And if you'll bow your heads now, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you are the owner and we are the managers of what you have given us. So we can generously share our time, our talents, our treasures, and the things that you have given us. Amen.
And also take this time to drop that information card in as the basket goes by.
God loves a lullaby and a mother's tears in the dead of night, better than a hallelujah sometimes. God loves a drunkard's cry, a soldier's plea not to let him die, better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our miseries, God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah.
Heard a lot of hallelujahs here this morning already.
A woman holding on for life, a dying man giving up the fight, are better than a hallelujah sometimes. The tears of shame for what's been done, the silence when the words won't come, are better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our miseries, God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah. Better than a church bell ringing, better than a choir. Here's a melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah.
better than a hallelujah. Are better than a hallelujah sometimes. Oh, are better than a hallelujah sometimes.
Amen. Amen.
It's Thanksgiving week. Have a safe and happy and beautiful Thanksgiving, because we all have so much to be Amen. Thankful for. Amen. See you next week.
God bless you all.